Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is January 7th, 2021. Our first show in the new year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
The one positive about yesterday is that I think it served as a dividing line to stop saying Happy New Year, because now it's like,
it's over. We in the year now.
7 days. That's all you get.
First shout out is to our cousin Inca for her birthday, which was 2 days ago or yesterday?
It was Tuesday, 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Happy birthday to our sock changing in the airport cousin. Trav's boo, Inca's mama. All that good stuff.
Ivy's mama. You know Jeff 73. You know
the names get all mixed up.
My
mother got older. She used to be doing that to me all the time. She'd be like, Julian, Jeffrey, can you do? I'm like, Mom, come on.
Naima, a girl.
You know what I'm talking about. You know what I meant.
I know what you meant.
Thank you. How you feeling?
Oh,
previous to yesterday.
I'm tired of shit.
I'm tired.
But no, I feel like last year in my 30s, I might as well blow it out the water, I guess.
Yeah, I say go hard. Go hard or go home. Are you it's hard to plan anything now with everything that's going on, but
yeah.
Are you planning anything?
For my birthday, no. But I might venture out and get a pedicure.
Okay, well, that's something. I'm gonna do a
bagel
at this point in the game.
Yeah, that's a luxury.
And to the listeners, I might just be like, when I get quiet for a second, it's because I'm trying to buy this PlayStation 5 and on Best Buy, and I just kicked. I was in Please Wait, and I got kicked off. Now I'm saying add the card, and that's not working. So I'm trying to be focused, but I ain't.
Did you get kicked off on both?
Yeah, both on my phone and on the laptop.
So. As much as you can while you're trying to get your joint back in your cart, what is so amazing about the new features of the PS5 versus the PS4?
Well, I'm an old retired gamer, so I actually stopped after. First of all, I was a PlayStation guy like at the beginning, and then I switched over to Xbox, and I was an Xbox guy for a long time. But I stopped playing years ago because it is really it can become really all-consuming.
Yeah.
Like I would play in the morning before I went to work. I'd get up early, get a couple games in, then go to work. Then, in the evening, stay up till 4 or 5 in the morning, easily rocking. And then, you know, because of the whole, music business and shit, at that time, most people, they don't do it now, but at that time, most people had TVs in their office because people would watch BET, people would watch The Box.
And they don't do that anymore?
Not really. At Atlantic, the only person that had a TV in his office was Kaiser.
Wow.
Yeah, that's he's the only one.
Oh, because y'all be having them glass office doors and stuff. Like
No. It was a glass office. They just didn't give nobody TVs. Even like Julie Craig, none of them had TVs.
Wow. Okay.
Only Kaiser. So anyway, that just became a thing that they stopped for some reason. But anyway, my point was, so because so many people had TVs in their office, people would be playing PlayStation in the office. It became like a thing. Like, y'all going over to the office, like, we're betting money on Madden and da da da. It became
Maybe that's why y'all don't have TVs anymore.
Yeah, probably right. It probably wasn't conducive to working.
You might be part of it. I still had a TV up until I left Epic, which was 15.
Also, TVs have become a little overrated in terms of what your requirements are. Like, there's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing, no one's handing Julie a fucking VHS tape of the latest video.
Yeah, right? That was the other thing too, yeah.
you're sending files. People want lighter, neater, streamlined.
Also, artists aren't going like on 106th and Park
because there is no 106th and Park.
Exactly.
And there's no TRL. Anyway, my point is, so I lost touch with all the technology. But I've decided to try to jump back in, even though I know I'm gonna get washed a whole bunch of times if I can kind of get the rust off. But from what I've heard about the PS5 and seen, it's really just like the level of graphics. It's as realistic as it's ever been. Like the easiness, because now you don't have to have the actual CDs. Like, you can just download the game, so it doesn't take up any room.
That's been for a minute, so I got the 4. I got it at the beginning of shutdown. Even though I knew the 5 was coming, I didn't care that much. Mm-hmm. I only wanted it for, I used to love Tekken and Mortal Kombat.
Tekken. I was nice, and I was real nice in Mortal, and I was real nice in Tekken. I was good in Mortal Kombat, but I was nice in Tekken.
I like Tekken and Mortal Kombat, but I actually got it for, I got both, but I think they're on like Mortal Kombat. Sorry, the heights is heightened.
All right.
I got Mortal Kombat. They're like at Mortal Kombat 11 now or something like that.
Okay.
Oh my god.
And it's so much harder.
Yeah.
So I was just taking myself through the tutorials, but like you said, I'd be up all night.
Yeah, easy. So it's just that, and then obviously now I think it's obviously with marketing, it's the hot thing to get, because Xbox has a new one. I don't know if it's out or it's coming, but like they haven't done any real marketing on it. So like Xbox is not. It's just not popping. It's all about the PS5. And I think also because of the panorama and all that stuff, like people are just home more. They're sitting in the house more. You know, they're just not doing shit. So dudes, it's also a way to communicate. You can watch TV through it. It's like a whole thing in and of itself. So I'm going to take it. But I'm not obsessive. Like, I'm not, oh, fuck, I missed the PS5. I'm like, oh, I didn't get it. You know, I'm like, I'll get it. Eventually, I'll get it. You know, if I don't get it today, next week.
In a minute, also, the heat will die down and the resale value won't be so crazy and all of that.
Exactly.
Like everything else, you know, bots, you know, people with
The bots are snatching up as soon as it comes out on any, whether it's Best Buy or whatever, you know, Sony Direct or whatever. It's like the bots are like, it's like the sneakers app.
Yeah.
You just can't get, you ain't gonna get them Jordans, bro. Not on that app.
Yeah. You know?
So whatever. But anyway, so let's get into the, any show. Well, how was your little break and all that? Did y'all do anything? Well, I wasn't nothing to do, but.
I was telling y'all before we started taping for the listeners that I bought a dollhouse. I was playing with shit for miniatures, learning how to do stuff. So I got like wood carving tools in here. I got a Dremel. I got
not gonna be like Lester Freeman. Remember Lester Freeman?
Well, on the wire. Exactly.
Little miniature furniture.
Exactly. No, with a glass is hanging down off a nose.
Look, this just came this morning.
This nigga got a
book. We love it.
Well, I got a whole library book. Are you kidding me? Some about miniatures and some about craftsmanship. I'm about, y'all understand, I'm about to learn how to do all that shit. I'm opening an Etsy store. And like one of the things I'm doing for sure is that there's no miniatures that are black. Like you can get miniature classical art, but ain't no black art, ain't no black miniature sculptures, you know, African sculptures, ain't no black miniature, ain't no miniature Greek shit. Well, there might be, but there's not, like, that's gonna be part of my
market. That's your niche.
That's gonna be part of my market. So what I challenged myself to do was at some point at least break even on all of my products.
Yeah, nigga, spend $40,000 on some bullshit. You know?
Listen, why you playing, man?
It's like 4 feet high. The rooms are massive. I can't wait. Like, this is something where I'm laying floors. I'm doing wallpaper. I'm doing fucking, like,
bro, you're going to be over there with your tools, sanding some shit.
Yes, I got baseboards, trim, like, cornice, all of that. All of that is happening.
All right.
Electric.
There's a huge market, and it's huge. I'm telling you, go into Michael's and get those big, like, Victorian dollhouses. They start at, like, $300. They're very realistic. You can buy tiny furniture.
Huge market. And I bought I finally broke down and bought a cricket.
Okay.
Because I was seeing all the white women getting them in Michael's over the holiday, and I was like, I get it, they're making t-shirts and cups and shit, but if you're not really good with like fine wood cutting details, you can use them to make furniture. Like you can literally import, you mm-hmm. know, like a shop drawing with measurements of pieces that you want to cut out, and you can use them to cut out your furniture pieces. So that comes today. So I'm about to be playing with furniture. I've been playing with accessories. Now we're playing with furniture. So more to come on that.
Let's move on.
I'll make some things for Ivy when she's old enough to play with like small. Okay.
I love it. Ivy has a tiny little collection of miniatures right now.
All right, we'll talk offline.
Yes, I'm excited.
Bro, how was your break, man? Please change this energy.
It was good, man. You know, we ain't do shit. You know, the kids came through for their old man on Christmas.
Yeah, you said you got. I saw your tweet. You said you got something. You're excited about it. You got the Oculus. Oh yeah, yeah.
I have it. Right,
it's so much fun.
Yo, I haven't. First of all, I don't really do like Christmas gifts, and I haven't really done. I haven't played. The last gaming system I had was PS4. I haven't really played in a few years at this point because, you know, the games that I do enjoy are also mobile. So I just kind of download them on the phone. I can kind of play them when I'm in between shit. Mm-hmm. It's not like a big to-do. But when I got this, yo, this joint is insane. First of all, I downloaded the boxing game, which is like, straight up been my cardio for the last
It's a workout for real.
Yo, bro, it's like you're really working out. And you know, obviously you're not being hit, yeah, right?
But you're still moving and
you have to move to not be hit. Yeah. Right? Like in the game. Mm-hmm. So it's a constant motion, really makes you appreciate boxing. Definitely explains why when men fight, that should be like 15 seconds, 20 seconds long. Niggas be winded.
When you grab each other, like, let me go, nigga. Like, you let go first.
You know, definitely explains that. They also have this incredible, like, realistic, I don't want to say realistic, but it's an army game. Mm-hmm. You know, like a Call of Duty type game. Mm-hmm. But it's wild because nothing is automatic in the game. And what I mean by that is, you know, normally if you want to reload your weapon, you hit a button, right? And then your weapon. Uh-huh. No, in this shit, you have to literally take your hand, grab the magazine from your waist. You have to release it from the gun. You have to put it in the gun. It's still not loaded. You got to take your other hand, put it to the gun, rack the shit back. Like it's
why they shooting at you,
bro. It's crazy, and it's really, it takes you a minute to, like, let your senses adapt, mm-hmm. because you can't, there's nothing there, right? Like, all you're seeing is what's in front of you. So as you're moving, it can kind of, like, throw your balance off, because you can't see anything. So you
I've been in the headset, and when I took it off, I'm turned in a whole different direction than I thought I was. I'm in a whole. I done tore up so much shit in my living room, fucking with this Oculus.
Because
the other thing that's surprising is I haven't spent a lot of time in VR until I got it. HBO sent it to me because they were doing like these special things around Lovecraft Country. They were doing like some Lovecraft experiences. Mm-hmm. But what was really surprising to me was how you react instinctively, even though it's virtual, to things coming at you. I done bummed into some shit because I'm like moving out the way or something because like my body says, my mind says I'm about to get hit. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I'm like, oh shit, let me get over it. And like really panicking, like, oh my God, oh God, you know, like, and freaking out. And somebody walked up in me on one of the virtual community lounges and like that freaked me out because I was like, why is this person so close to me? But it really felt like this person was like, I stopped going into those things where other people are. So yeah, it takes you a minute to get acclimated to it, and I can totally see how people get lost in there for like extreme periods.
Hours. How long do you usually play, bro?
There's so much. Huh?
How long do you usually play?
What'd you say?
How long do you usually play?
I don't play that long. Usually when I do the boxing, I try to do anywhere between like 3 to 5 rounds.
So it's for a workout.
It's a legit workout. Like, dude, I'm dripping. Like, my heart rate is up. I'm dripping. It also has other features, so you can do a speed bag or a heavy bag.
The training shit. The
dummy. It shows you, you know, your punch measurements and things like that. And I mean, you know, I don't know how accurate that is, right? Like, I'm not really hitting anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just measuring your hand speed ultimately.
See, I might mess around and get this instead of in just the PS5.
You should try it.
I think it's definitely worthy of trying it. I also love the fact that you can watch your movies. Like, you can do Netflix, you can do Prime. You know, it puts you
the
in.
The movies look different when you're in.
No, it's literally, think of what you're seeing on your TV, except there's nothing around you. Your peripheral now is.
It's just a movie.
It's like when you're in the Netflix zone, you're in a cabin. So when you turn your head left, it's like snow-capped mountains.
Yeah, it's like your own personal little mountain.
It's like your own personal little cave. Yeah.
I might go on a cop this because I can play this spot whenever. Yeah.
It's definitely something I would suggest you like test out or make sure there's a good return policy.
Okay.
Because it's definitely like one of those things where you might like it for like a week.
And then the
games are fairly complicated. It's not.
It's not an
easy play. You gotta really kind of want to do the shit. But it's dope. I love it.
The thing about that is, and I understand what you're saying, because that's how I was when I was a gamer. I had several games, but I ended up like kind of locking in on, obviously, like Madden. I really locked in on the basketball. The 2K at that time. It was NBA Live at that time. Mm-hmm. And the boxing game. And like Halo, which was kind of like the Call of Duty of Xbox. So, like, if you lock into like 3 or 4, then you're good. But if you try to play like 20, that's when it becomes like, I can't. They just lock into 3 or 4 and try to master those. So,
but the thing is, there are also experiences on there, right? So, like, when I first got on for the first couple of weeks, I wasn't even looking at the games. I was like, you can do skydiving. I was riding roller coasters. Yeah. I rode so many roller coasters one night, I literally got sick. I was fascinated by how you really feel like you're on a fucking roller coaster.
Yeah, I ain't doing
that. I was doing like meditation apps. I was going to beaches and just.
They got sex apps in there too?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I'm assuming.
Don't shake your head. You know niggas in virtual fucking.
There's definitely
fucking,
VR.
You know they are?
There's definitely VR.
No, I don't want to do it, but I know that there is definitely do. That.
Oh. It exists. I was like going to beaches and like chilling on beaches and shit. Going scuba diving.
Niggas so holding hands on the beach.
Yeah, there's no limit to what you can find in there. Yeah.
All right, I'm a cop then. Nice. I'm about to do this detox.
Hear this nigga go.
What, did you eat a lot of food over the holiday?
It's been a minute, Jeff. It's been a minute since you came to us with one.
You know I do this. You know what I do.
Situation.
I saw my man Joe. He told me about this detox shit. I bought it. It's a big ass dress in the thing. $50. A big ass thing to clean up all the toxins in your body. It's basically like the same thing that your boy. And sorry to anybody who think I'm disrespecting, but your boy Dr. Sebi.
I knew you got to say some Dr. Sebi.
You know, piece of the gods. It was the shit that he was using. it was the shit that he was using to clean niggas out. Get your life right. So I'm about
What's
to do
in
that.
There? Some sea moss.
Oh, it's a whole bunch of shit.
Niggas said arm, leg, arm, head.
It's all kind of shit in there. But it's this one particular thing called cast or something that's supposed to make you. So I'm not gonna start it to the weekend because you really need to be near a bathroom because shit get apparently
so
shit get,
much extra, information
extra gully.
So let me ask you, is this you're mixing drinks? I'm just trying to be clear.
It's a liquid, but so this is what's in it, real quick. Elderberry, sea moss, cascara.
Castor oil?
The cascara sagrada. That's the one that really gets at you. Then there's a whole bunch of sarsaparilla, a whole bunch of other shit. So what you're supposed to do is do this, and then your diet changes. So I'm not supposed to have any animal protein, you know, that's, you know, obvious. No dairy, no processed or canned foods, which I don't eat anyway. Like, I definitely deaded, like, the chips and all that type of shit. I don't never eat
canned foods. Did you say sarsaparilla?
Yes, that's part of what's in the thing. And no alcohol. And no, hey, Anka.
I mean, IBC, now you got me doing it, Jeff.
Hi, and no alcohol, which I'm not a big drinker anyway. So I can, that part is not. I don't think it's gonna be as tough, but you know, I'm gonna give it a shot. Now my man Joe, he's doing it for the month. Every day you take one in the morning, one at night. I was like, damn, he's doing 30 days. He really get close. He said he lost 12 pounds in a week.
I mean, a big part of that, and this is not to discredit the cleanse, because I think it is good for you. I do something, but not as drastic as that. But like, a lot of that shit is water weight, man. Like a lot of that shit is just the water retention, and you're cutting the sodium. You're drinking a lot of water, a lot of fluids, so you're balancing out. Mm-hmm. And that's really the initial part. That's why when you see people who do this, they immediately have that, you can see it in their face, right? Like, that's like the most immediate way for you to see it. But I mean, those cleanses are good. Again, you know, you don't have to do those drinks. Like, you get there are other ways to do that cleanse very similar to that. But
yeah, I'm going to give it a shot, though. I bought the shit, so I'm going to use it.
Give it a shot. Fuck it. You know,
give it a shot. Fuck yeah. So next week, if I'm running back and forth to the bathroom, it's because of the cleanse.
I think those cleanses, though, a lot of it is just hydrating your colon.
It could be.
Like, a lot of the hydration doesn't make it out of your belly.
Stimulating your colon? Okay.
I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna find out what it is.
Nicole, well, I can tell you what you also.
Your colon is dehydrated.
You buy you some incense too, nigga.
Oh, I got the poop spray.
No, nigga. You need them big. You need them super long, the thick.
Oh, the heavy joints. The heavy joints.
You need the cold. Yeah.
You need them kind of incense.
All right, cool. I cop some of that too.
But how was your holiday? I don't think you answered.
Oh, it was cool. I didn't do shit. I mean, I ended up going to see that was tough, because I went to go see my godparents, and my godfather, he's dealing with a little dementia and stuff. So like, my god sister's like, because he's trying to come out the house because he just sees me, but it's freezing. It was Christmas. It was the day after Christmas, the 26th. It was a Saturday. Yeah, it was cold as shit. And I mean, cold. I got the North Face on, and I didn't come in the house because, again, COVID, and my godparents are in their mid-80s, so I'm obviously not taking no chances. So we outside, and like, he's coming out. He comes out with no shirt, no coat on, no mask. I'm like, Uncle Eddie, go back in the house. He's like, no, I don't care about none of this shit. It don't bother me. I'm like, Uncle Eddie, like, you got to go in the house. He's like, I'm good. I'm the guy. So, but I mean, I was happy to see them, but it caused a little bit of chaos. But I'm still happy to see him. But we're gonna definitely be FaceTiming until the weather breaks. Then I went to see I saw Penny on Christmas Day. It was only like five of us. I went out to Queens. So on Christmas Day, you know, we social distanced, definitely. Food was good. Then I came on home. And then the rest of the time, I was just doing nothing. Going to the gym.
Yeah.
Going to the supermarket. Watching TV. I watched so many
now, movies. Are you concerned about being in the gym?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I keep, you know, for what it's worth, I keep my mask on, you know, obviously, I keep my mask on. But I put my mask on before I walk out the house. And I don't take it off till I come back home. So I got the mask on.
How is it working out with your mask on?
It's tough. So I don't do as much cardio as I used to because it's hard to breathe in the mask. And the gym is definitely, I give them props in that they don't let it get flooded. They definitely keep that count. And if it gets to a certain number, whatever that number is, you can't. They stop people. There's a line outside. They let people.
Have they shut down steam rooms and saunas?
Oh yeah, that's been dead. The steam rooms, steam rooms, showers dead. They only have two stalls in the men's bathroom. One of those is locked. Like they, you know, the lockers are the lot certain. So it's like one locker. Then it'll be like the zip ties on like four lockers to make sure that the lockers are social distanced. So the gym is pretty on point with doing the social distance thing. You know, I don't talk to anybody in the gym anyway, so I mean, I got my mask on, I do what I gotta do when I leave. That's my life. I went to Harlem last Saturday. It was supposed to have decent warm. It was like in the 50s. It wasn't really that warm. I rode my bike. Now it's the first time I've been in Harlem in like 2 weeks, so I don't even usually leave my neighborhood. I'm right up here in the Heights doing, fortunately, I'm in a neighborhood that has everything. Like, I don't need to go anywhere. Like, you know, it's like four supermarkets around me, mad stores, mad restaurants. Like, I don't have that.
You're on the busy side.
I'm right by 181st. Literally everything. Anything you could think of, post office, everything's right there. Peace to Marcos, who's my new barber, Dominican. don't speak the English, but he's nice with the Clippers. And I am in a full-blown Dominican barbershop, son.
They smoke the hookah. There are no COVID precautions in your barbershop.
No, actually, Marcos keep his mask on the whole time. The people keep their mask on the whole time. But yeah, it's lit. Like, they got the women, so they got the beauty salon piece popping. They got the gay cats who's doing braiding the guy's hair. They got the music blasting. They got the hookah popping. It's full blast in his joint. But he's nice with it, and he's right up the hill. So God bless.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Inka. Thank you. That's what I've been dealing with. That's what I've been working
with. Okay.
Let's jump into let's just do like a couple of lighter things, because we're gonna have to spend some time on what's happening literally right now. I want to talk. Did y'all watch Soul?
Yes.
Not yet.
Okay. What
if y'all want to talk about it, I'll tap out. Y'all tell me when y'all.
Oh, you haven't talked to me? You haven't watched it yet?
I haven't watched it yet. No.
What you waiting on?
I don't know. I saw
it's good.
About it. People been doing too much with it, so I was gonna wait.
Is it though?
Me and bro about to get into it. I thought it was really good. But it was very interesting in that this is definitely the first time, in my opinion, that Pixar has made, like, I didn't see Inside Out, so maybe this is the second, because I heard Inside Out was very similar. This is the first Pixar movie, I should say, that I've seen. By the way, the guy who made Inside Out is the same guy that did Soul, so he's into like therapy and the mind and all that stuff. But this is the first Pixar movie I've seen that's really like full blown adult. It's not much kiddie shit besides the cat. Like it's a very adult themed movie. Even Up like had like the little kid and the monsters on the island. Like there's none of that in this. You're living in, right. It's obviously a animation, but you're living in an adult world. Like, he has a job, you know what I'm saying? He goes to the barbershop, he's playing jazz, like, you know, his mom is there. Like, it's a very an adult-themed film. And I thought that was very interesting that they did that. Even the themes about, you know, obviously dying and souls and, you know, how the souls are put in bodies. Those are kind of more things that I don't think that, you know, a six-year-old child is, like, Ivy's not thinking about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's not. She's a kid, and she shouldn't be. So, but right. I really enjoyed it. It was like a lot of subtlety to it. I enjoyed the music. I'm not a big jazz guy, but I definitely enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the all the voice work. I just really enjoyed the movie, and it really threw me because, I mean, spoiler alert for those who haven't seen it, but like I was stunned that he actually like died. Because, you know, in the cartoon, the guy falls in a hole. It's just like, oh, I'm okay. I was like, this thing is dead? Like, for real?
I was stunned that it happened so quickly.
Early. Yeah, I was like, this thing is dead. Like, this thing is like, he's really dead. Like, I kind of thought really he would, like, died. Wake up later on and be like, oh, I just felt. I was like, oh, shit, this thing is dead. Like, he jumped right into the whole, like, him going up to heaven or whatever thing. But I really enjoyed the movie. I liked the barbershop scene a lot. I like the interaction with him and his mom and her friends, because that's real as hell. As your mom with her two best black friends, that's so real. You know what I'm saying? And one of the friends like a little flirty with you and shit. Like I loved it. But I'm gonna stop talking. I'm gonna let y'all talk, cause bruh, I know bruh got some issues, and I want to hear.
let me say, I don't necessarily know that I would call these issues. I will say that I do agree with you. We watched it as a family. We went down to the theater. So it was me, Mona, Justin, and Jordan. And Jordan literally was the first person to say the same. She said your thing, Jeff. Like, if she literally said, if I was 6 years old, I wouldn't get this. I wouldn't understand. Like, this is not really a kid's movie.
It's not.
It was a little more complicated than I sort of anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the movie was like, it was watchable. I didn't think it was like.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, on the A, B, C, D, E, F scale, what you giving it?
I mean, I give it like, I mean, it was like a 6, 6.5. I'm not saying.
Would you watch it again?
I'm saying if the movie is on, I'm not necessarily going to turn the channel. Like if it's like ambient, like if it's in the background, like I'm not going to say, oh, turn that shit off.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm not like seeking out soul. Soul you're, is never going to be. Watching,
you're gonna be looking at your phone.
Soul is never going to be in my search engine. Like I can promise you that. You know what I'm saying? And listen, I expressed to you guys initially what my issue, one of my issues were, which is, you know, I didn't think the Tina Fey voice character was necessary. I just feel like it again is a consistent theme of needing a white person. And listen, we know that it's a soul, right? Mm-hmm. In the same way that we know that that's a white woman's voice, right? Like mm-hmm. we can acknowledge both things, okay? And because it's a voice, it's a voice character, like, why couldn't it have been someone black? Like, why? Like, there's so many, it's not like you were selling Tina Fey to sell this movie.
I got you.
Right.
None of the promo, because all of the promo was surrounding black people. It was Jamie. It was Felicia Rashad, and it was Quest.
Yeah,
it was Quest. They did a whole NBA playoff campaign. They did a bunch of shit, man, that was surrounding this movie. Tina Fey was never really mentioned, and for her to have such a big, and this is no shots to Tina Fey because I actually really enjoy her stuff. Mm. I just feel like this wasn't necessary because there's never a black, voice controlling 45 or 55% of Frozen.
Never. Mm-hmm. As long as the black voice in Frozen.
that we don't even exist in that world. So it's like the one world where we exist, we don't even exist wholly. And look, I don't want to mm-hmm. soapbox this, right? Because I'm nobody's professor. I know a lot of you. You got your fucking degree and you know every fucking thing. That ain't me. Yeah. But this shit it didn't feel good. Just on a basic level, my first instinct was like, yo, why is that voice here? That was the first thing I said.
When you said that, I guess we're talking via, aren't we texting or Twitter? Whatever.
We're texting.
When you said that, I hadn't even thought about it, but then I was like, yeah, that could have been Issa Rae. Easily.
There's so many voices who are black who could have done that. And again, it fits, right? I get it. I love the fact that there was nuance with take your drink, Trav. There was nuance with the characters because I love the fact that the barber was like, yo, you never asked me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right? Because a lot of times, like, we have these sort of relationships in our head that we think are so intimate,
mm-hmm.
and they're really not. Like, we really don't know those people. We haven't really allowed them. Like, we find that one thing and we lock into it, right?
Yeah.
And we don't really sort of explore. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very interesting. And, I love the whole barbershop vibe. I've seen shit like that happen.
Absolutely.
Like, my shit is crazy. I got a job interview.
Yeah. I got a wedding or whatever. Yeah.
Nah, bro. Go ahead. You go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
So it was like I said, it wasn't the worst movie in the world. I'm not gonna sit here and like trash it, but it's definitely not something that I'm like, hey, I want to go back and watch that again.
All right, Inka, you go.
So we watched it as a family too on Christmas morning, and we were both really sad about it. Like, there was no part of the movie where I was like, ooh, this makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside, except for, like, the barbershop stuff and but even, I feel like there's a way to illustrate the Black experience without bringing in, like, the mom who tells you you're not going to be shit, without bringing in the, I'm kind of a failure, I've wanted to have a great job my whole life, but I don't. There's a richness to us that has nothing to do with that like weird suffering that white people have to put into movies for us. Like, let's juxtapose Sylvie's Love with this movie.
I haven't seen Sylvie's Love yet.
Well, I'm not going to spoil anything, but that was like literally just a love story without all of the like market suffering that we have to put into every fucking black movie everywhere. And so like as soon as he fell into the hole and like we got put into this other multiverses whatever area, I was like, damn, that's all we get. Where he's in his own body, like really?
My nigga was alive for like 7 minutes, bro.
And then all of a sudden he's on a different plane with like tiny sperm. It made me a little sad for the experience. Sperm. Saving the white woman? I got so tired.
Can I just say one thing? So I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, for sure.
The one thing, I love Jamie Foxx. I think he's one of the most talented people of his generation. Mm-hmm. I think he's the last of multi-talented breeds, like the Gregory Hines.
Agreed. And Sammy Davis.
Sammy Davis, right?
I think he's brilliant, yeah.
Jamie is not a great voice actor. He was not great to me in this as a voice.
He was very muted, but I think that was because the character was muted.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. Let me not say he's not a great voice actor. I don't think this performance was good. It felt like someone reading, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe you're right. It was very monotone. It was very sort of plotting, I think.
I think because we know Jamie and like the multifacetedness of who he is and that kind of off the riff guy. And then to get him in this very tonal, like
mundane. That's fair. That's actually fair. What I'm judging based on what I'm used to and maybe based on what I know him capable of doing. So that's fair.
But I think what you're missing to that point and to Inka's point about this kind of sad thing and like the not being happy with your job, blah 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 blah, was that the character was kind of like missing the forest for the trees. In other words, it's like he was so focused on getting into the band and like playing that big gig, and like as it showed at the end, he had like his whole kind of life missed the little kind of moments that were special, like his dad playing music for his dad, or his mom giving him a bath, or it was like him tasting that pie and how good. Like he missed all of that shit because he was just so like focused on that. So it was almost like at the end, it was like your life actually has not been sad. You thought it was, but it actually hasn't been sad at all. It's actually been a really good life. You just kind of took so much shit for granted. And then when you died, after a while, you realized how much shit that you took for granted because you couldn't do it anymore. It's like, oh, man, I really would like to just get a piece of pie.
The journey. I do like when adult characters are able to see the world through being a child. I think that's dope. But it just felt so cheap to have the surprise of this white woman character driving pretty much the narrative of the rest of the movie after the first 5 minutes. Mm. That I was not expecting. I signed up for, Jamie Foxx and the barbershop scene and the mom in the seamstress, room or whatever. Like, I signed up for that. And I feel like I got a little cheated. I got a little bamboozled.
Now, one more thing I wanted to ask y'all, then we'll move on to something else. What did y'all think about the ending? Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it.
It felt a little predictable and kind of hollow for me.
Really? So I looked online, and there was a lot of, controversy is not the right word, but a lot of people, there was like two real hardcore sides. And I saw a little interview with the, his name is Pete something. Mm-hmm. Oh man, the guy who did the movie. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his name, but he said that there were two or three endings that they were going to do with him, with him meeting back up with 22, with like whatever body that she fell into when she came to Earth, and stuff like that. But they decided to just leave it very open and like kind of let people interpret the ending as they want it to be. But some people were like, yo, we wish he would have met up with 22 again, like been like 20 or have him get back with, remember there was a brief moment when he talked about a love interest, Lisa.
Yeah. I thought we were going to get a piece of that.
Yeah. But I think what they were also doing is setting up. I think if it does super well, and I think it has, I think they're going to do a part two where like some of the 22 stuff will come back up and Lisa and like where he went in his life after kind of getting enlightened?
I don't think there'll be a part two. I think this is a one and done. Like, I'm never watching this movie.
Well, it's never one and done until it's never one and done if the paper's crazy. So I don't know what
that's
the scenes
true,
are.
That's
and stuff,
true.
You know, but anyway, so, yeah. So
anyway,
I suggest you watch Soul. Inka and Sean are not as into it as I was. They say you watch it. They say if it ain't nothing else on, if it ain't nothing else on, that's what they say.
And it's
I say it's an appointment viewing. Y'all niggas saying like, if it's Sunday and ain't shit else on, go ahead and watch shit.
We should also couch that with this nigga got a rack of DVDs from Adia Plays. So
yeah,
y'all take that however you want to take it.
I watch so much black. I watch so many black movies. Over this break, man, black Christmas movies.
So did we.
I watched all kinds of shit. I watched so much shit, I honestly can't remember everything I watch. Like, I'll be looking through, like, Netflix or HBO Max. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, yeah, I did see that. Like, I watched so much that it's just a blur.
I almost finished The West Wing.
Oh, wow.
That's a good-ass show, man.
You watched
I was not aware. Yeah. Well, I started this a little while ago. But I learned so much about the damn government watching that show. It's crazy. And Martin Sheen is one of my favorite people. So
I started watching Kitchen Nightmares, Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, that's my shit.
Yeah, yeah. I never watched it when it was like on television. That was never really my thing.
Oh, Kitchen Nightmares is my shit.
Yeah. So I've been now I'm kind of obsessed with watching the show and then kind of going back to see if the restaurant is still open.
Yeah, yeah. So, now, did you see the one? How far are you in?
I'm like on season 4 now.
There's a classic one with this man and a woman. I think the restaurant was in, San Diego, I think. And he's stealing the tips from the waiters and all that. Have you seen that one yet?
I ain't seen
okay.
that.
That's like the classic joint. That's like the one that everybody goes to. So I won't tell you nothing else, but it's bonkers. It's it's insanity. I know I promise you those people are MAGA. That's how hardcore they are.
That show makes you want to chill out on eating out though.
Yeah, because some of the shit be like, why nigga, you're cooking in the kitchen like that? I did watch the Beastie Boys doc, which has been out for a while.
It's on Apple though, right?
Apple TV, yeah.
Apple TV and I keep forgetting I have it. How is it?
It's excellent. It's fucking excellent. So they did it very differently. They went to the King's Theater. Obviously, this is pre-COVID. They went to the King's Theater. Adam and Mike went to the King's Theater, and they are talking to the audience during the doc. And obviously, they're showing stuff on the screen, and they're talking about their journey. So it's not a documentary kind of like the Bee Gees where you're just kind of watching everything. And they're like it's like almost like a show. It's like a play, almost, kind of. But it was excellent. There's, you know, some stuff in that I didn't know about. Stuff I forgot about. Like, I had totally forgotten that License to Ill was the only album they did on Def Jam.
Really?
Yeah, it's the only album. Because they did License to Ill. Obviously, it was a massive success. They were touring. They were making all this money. And then they realized, like, you know, lo and behold, Record Business 101, they weren't getting any royalties. And they're like, yo, Russell, like, what the fuck, bro? Like, we sold like 5 million albums. How are we not getting the royalties? And, you know, and they had this huge beef with Russell because they wasn't getting paid. They never got, I don't know what happened later on, but like for a long time, maybe they sued him later, but they never got paid. Russell, they were getting their money, like now, they was all on the road. But they were like, they were young, they were buck wild. And they were like, they got tired of being on the road because it's like, yo, like, we're on the road. All we do is like get high, get drunk, like as hell, because it became expected of them to be the wild frat boy kids. And after a while, they were like, yo, we don't, and they were missing New York. Because people forget also, like, that first album, they were like super young. They were like 17?
Yeah.
17 years old? They were kids. So they were like, yo, we just want to go back home. And Russell's like, nah, fuck that. More shows. Obviously, Russell was managing them. So he's making more money. And then, like, it was a fallout between them and Russell and Rick, because he's like, yo, like, we thought y'all were like our, I mean, again, Music Business 101. we thought y'all were our friends and we were going to make this shit together. And they realized that the contract was fucking disgusting. And again, they weren't making any bread because I think it's just speculation. Def Jam was still were a really new company at that time. It was them, LL, maybe Public Enemy or Slick Rick?
I think it was.
He came after LL, but it was still.
No, LL was first. LL was the first.
It was Taylor Rock, LL.
Then the Beasties.
Then the Beastie Boys.
But the Beasties were involved. Adam was actually like Adam's on a Taylor Rock. Adam produced the Taylor Rock album with Rick, I think.
There was never an album, but he just sing. Yeah,
I mean, it's yours.
Not Ad Rock. MCA.
MCA's on It's Yours.
Yeah. Okay.
And he picked the LL demo, or Adam did.
MCA took the LL demo because they became very close to Rick because they said they had this song called Cookie Puss. And then Rick heard the record and they somehow seeked out Rick Rubin, who was still a college kid at NYU. They went to his dorm room and we just basically never left. We lived there. So we just make music and hang out. And he said that one day, like MCA was like, yo, listen to this tape, this kid is pretty good. And he gave it to Rick and obviously that was LL. So anyway, so the point is like, they were like really like in this, they really in this like these friend relationships with more with Rick than with Russell. But they were in these friend relationships. Matter of fact, they said they were there the first time Russell and Rick met. Because Russell reached out to Rick. He was like, you produced It's Yours? Like, you're white? Like, who the fuck are you? Like, you know? And so, like, bottom line, they had this friend relationship. And then so when the business came in, as usual, it got messy. So they left Def Jam and they went to Capitol. And from Paul's Boutique on, they've been on Capitol ever since. They never... I've forgotten that was the only album they did on Def Jam, which to me is an awful look for Russell and for, at the time, CBS Records. Because how do you let a group that did like 5 million albums walk away without just fixing your business? And I'm saying that without knowing any of the business, so I don't know how that happened. But that's just bad business. Like, you can't let a group that big and your fledgling label just bounce. Like, you've got to fix that. But anyway, bottom line, it's a really, really well done documentary. Like, you know, those guys are really like artists for real. And they talked about, you know, everything. And obviously, it's very sad when they talk about MCA. And, you know, and MCA like kind of went on, like MCA kind of broke out and like went on this real spiritual journey. He like went to Tibet. He was hanging out with the Dalai Lama. Like, he went into like, you know, he went deep into like Native American world and all, you know, stuff. But he kind of went in a different way than the other two. But they were also very close. They would take time with it. They wouldn't see MCA for like months at a time because he was just on another side of the world doing his thing. But it's very, I highly recommend people watch the Beastie Boys documentary. It's very, very well done. Very well done.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it is. Let's do Put a Ring on It and Ready to Love real quick because Put a Ring on It finale, reunion is this week. And a Ready to Love finale is this week. Did you watch any of them, bro?
I didn't watch any of them, but I know what outcomes. I know what the outcomes are.
It ain't rocket science.
Exactly what we said it was going to be.
Yeah. So when Put a Ring on It, all three couples stayed together at the end, which I thought was just bullshit. Like, come on.
And got engaged.
Yeah, so a couple things. A lot of people get engaged, right? Not everybody signs that paperwork.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm not necessarily surprised that they all put a ring on it, quote unquote. But I also think that it was good for a first season.
Absolutely, right?
Because you want people to kind of come in and feel like, hey, this process is going to help us, not going to rip us up. In terms of the people that are on the show, at some point though, for people watching the show, you're going to have to switch that up. Like, you're going to have some. Yeah.
Drama,
because it's just not. Listen, anybody that has been in a long term relationship knew from the door that fucking Hollywood and Ashley wasn't going nowhere. Okay, that's gonna be, niggas ain't gonna get married. They're gonna be together 30 years.
Yeah, and, that's my old lady.
Yeah, that's my old lady. You know, name ain't even on the paperwork for the house. Yeah. You know,
none
all
that
type of shit.
None of that.
We knew Michael was gonna, you know, do this with Shay. I mean, that nigga was, dude, she was like, your kid is like negotiable, and he didn't break out.
Word.
So how do we? I mean, yeah, what are you
talking about? Yeah, there's gonna break the deal.
And Vince and the other girl was probably the most surprising to me because, like, you know, God bless her, but that young lady seems miserable. Like she seems like she is in a miserable life. Like she cries.
All the time. Every episode. Time. Every episode she cries. And she's like, she's crying. And he's like a little tear. Like she's crying. She's the, it's damn near snot bubbles. Like she's crying.
Yeah, I just didn't really understand that. I get why he would have done that, because I feel like she's kind of displayed that. She's shown him what her bar is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's let him know, hey, this is the line you can kind of push me up to. I might go a little more. I might go a little further than this, but this is kind of where my line is drawn in the sand. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll do it because I'm here. But yeah. I don't believe they're going to get married. That guy doesn't really. He doesn't seem to love her. No, you know, they're going through the motions.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you never know from you and being in production, you definitely notice, like, when you watch the clips of, you know, the reunion or whatever, you don't really quite know what happens. You just kind of see these little quick clips. But it looks like from the clips in the reunion that there's definitely some issues, like, in the clips in the reunion, because they bring off what they do what they're going to do in the reunion is also bringing back the people that they went on the dates with. And Mike and Whitney apparently are still in a lot of contact and communication. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So, and Hollywood and old boy, since they get into a little funk, what's his name, Kwame?
Yeah.
Because I think that, I don't know how solid that Hollywood Ashley thing is, and I think Kwame's still kind of circling around. Again, we'll see on Friday night. Oh, real quick, before I forget, I got to say peace to my Clubhouse group. Who I joined with about 3 weeks ago, who I forget the
time. Your Clubhouse watching our stories group?
Yes. Yes. I love them. I love them all. We discussed. Yeah, I'm 75 years old, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm 75 years old and I'm eating granola in the morning right now. But we discussed these shows, put a ring on it. We do put a ring on it on Saturdays, which is obviously comes on Friday night.
I have a schedule.
Oh, yeah. Every Saturday, I think it's actually 8 o'clock. It's a schedule. It's a Clubhouse room. And we discuss. And then we discuss on Mondays. We discuss Real Housewives of Atlanta, though we're not really liking where that's going. So we're going to kind of flip that. And we're going to be doing Love and Marriage Huntsville, which they showed the previews for. That's what's coming on at the end of this month. So I decided to give my Clubhouse group a shot. I found my tribe.
God bless.
Found my tribe. The own watches Clubhouse group. So Ready to Love. What'd y'all think about that?
I didn't watch that.
Oh, okay.
I only saw that put a ring on it.
I tried Ready to Love several times. I can't get into it.
I didn't like the format in the first season. I'm not a big fan of Cousin Tommy or whatever. I don't hate him.
Yeah.
But it's just, again, if it's on in the background, yeah. I mean, I turn it. But
it ain't appointment viewing. Okay. Okay.
No.
Well, it's been a messy ass season. This season they've been in Houston. It's been a messy. That's where Tommy's from, so he's kind of more into it because it's his hometown. It's been a messy ass season. Thursday is the, I think tomorrow's the finale of the show. So we could talk about it next week. And you know, or not. Like I said, I got my Clubhouse group. So if y'all niggas ain't into it, I got my tribe. I can talk about it there real quick. I just want to mention there's another own show called Bell, which is based in Jackson, Mississippi. And it's about the same thing. It's about these women who are like, we're the hottest women in Jackson, Mississippi. And one owns a very interesting business, though. I got to mention her. I don't remember her name because it's only been one episode. But she has a bit, you know, she does the hair thing, right? But what she did, which was very interesting, is she is one of the first people. I think this might be her company. She started the hair in the vending machines. So you can buy bundles in vending machines now.
Yeah, I've seen that. Okay.
Yeah. And I think she started this shit. She's like getting paid like for real. Because like, they're like in the mall, in the big, whatever the hot mall is in Jackson, but they're like all around the country. Like she linked up with, I forget the cat. She talked about it on the show, but she linked up. Oh, that's what she did, which is very smart of her. She went to the guy who runs the hot mall in Jackson and said, I have this idea. I got this vending machine hair thing. Could you let me try it out? She said she showed pictures. The first day, the fucking line was retarded. Like women going in there to get hair. And so the guy who runs the mall was like, holy shit, this is works. So he called corporate and said, yo, we got something here. So they put all her vending machines in all the malls that corporate thing owns all around the country. So she's getting it for real. Like she's popping. But again, it's only been one episode, but I'm going to stick with it. And, you know, and I'm going to talk about it either here or in the Clubhouse group. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
Bro, you want to talk about any sports real quick before we jump?
Nah, I mean, other than
your boys made the playoffs.
Yeah, we made the playoffs. I figured we would. My only sports issue, like, and this isn't really an issue, but a mini rant. Like, Shaq needs to fucking grow up, man. Like, Shaquille O'Neal's behavior. Shaquille O'Neal's behavior has been fucking disgusting, man. Like to watch. Watching
Wait,
him,
what can I do? Somebody update me.
So Shaq recently went on a rant about Rudy Gobert and Rudy Gobert's $200 million contract.
So Rudy Gobert plays center for Utah Jazz. He's he's actually French. He's born in France, raised in France. He came over here and went out to play ball. He's like 7'2", I guess, right?
Yeah.
So he's a defensive player that gets a lot of rebounds, blocks a lot of shots, doesn't score a lot of points, but, you know, very agile, very athletic. And Shaq had an issue with this because of the lack of offense. But I'll take it from there. But I just want to kind of
That's pretty much what he did. And it was just it was real cheesy. It was real pocket watching. Like you don't have to pay this dude. Like, why is what Rudy Gobert making such a fucking bother for you? And he's, like, making it out to be, like, this – you know, almost like I didn't make that money. It felt very haterish. It felt very childish and petty. And we know he's petty, but it's just like increasing and increasing. Like it's Dwight Howard. It's JaVale McGee. Yeah. It's Rudy Gobert. Like it's a constant thing with this dude. And like, yo, man, like leave that fucking man alone. Like I'm fascinated that people think he's even funny or talented. And listen, I ain't gonna sit here and pretend like Shaq ain't one of the greatest to play the game. And to me, watching him go at a guy like Rudy Gobert, frankly, is punching down.
Yeah, that's, it really
that,
is.
That to me is like AI talking about fucking Lonzo Ball's contract. Like, yeah. You're punching down. Like, yeah. You fucking AI. You walked into the Hall of Fame, bro. Like, you, like we cannot have the discussion about basketball in the 90s without mentioning your name.
Absolutely not.
You can't have that conversation. So, to me, and watching him and watching AI in their post-playing career has very much, to me, reminded me of, it reminds me of Tiki and Michael Strahan.
Mm.
And how one has been incredibly abrasive, unnecessarily disparaging, and the other has been warm and more embraced by
and
younger,
like an ambassador of the game.
An ambassador of the game. And if you had told somebody,
I was about to say, which is the exact opposite of what everybody
exact opposite. If you told somebody in 1997 that AI would be this guy and Shaq would be the other asshole, yeah. No one would have bought that. No one would have believed you. And I'm just tired. Like his act is old. His fucking style is old. His style is just chump, man. Them suits is trash, my nigga. Like, get it together, bro. Like, and I'm tired of these dick riding dudes like yucking it up with him like he's funny. He's not fucking funny, bro. He's not funny.
Yeah.
That was my rant. Sorry.
I'm not gonna say anything because obviously I worked in Shaq, so I'm gonna no comment this one.
George, the views here are only Sean Young's.
Yeah, which is rare because you know usually I don't, but I'm gonna chill on this one. Georgia. So
what game?
Georgia. Stacey Abrams is done. She proved it twice in 2 months' time. Georgia has turned blue. They have elected two senators for the Democratic Party: Raphael Warnock, who is a Morehouse grad, who is the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, which is famously Dr. Martin Luther King's church, and John Ossoff, who is a Jewish kid from born and raised in Atlanta. From what I've heard and read, went to the multicultural schools, got the, cool cat. I heard this is who he is. Like back in school, same guy, like friends with everybody, real cool guy, obviously very smart. And really about Atlanta, really about the city of Atlanta from all facets, so they both won these runoff races against Kelly Loeffler, who was a horrible woman.
He's a criminal and an inside trader.
Criminal. And who, by the way, was not elected but appointed.
Exactly.
I'm still trying to understand. How was there not a special election? I'm still confused about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a Georgia thing or something. But owns the Atlanta Dream, which is the WNBA team in Atlanta, obviously.
And they hate her.
The Atlanta Dream is the reason for Warnock's. Well, I could say for his win, definitely for his popularity, because when he first jumped into the race, he had like 2%, 3%. Like he was nothing. And then the Atlanta Dream started to wear T-shirts like supporting him, which obviously raised his profile in the city, in the community, and in the state, more importantly, and nationally. And he took that obviously and kind of ran with that exposure and ended up winning. And this Atlanta Dream has supported him all the way through, and they don't like her. So LeBron posts something about he might put a little squad together and try to buy the team.
I saw that.
And then David Perdue, I don't know how long he's been a senator, but quite a while. Locked into the good old boy rich network. White man network in Georgia. And
Perdue
never
used to also be that might actually be one of the actual Purdue's, but I want to say Perdue.
Oh, one of the chicken Purdue, the poultry.
But I want to say Purdue's been in the cabinet before.
He might have. Yeah, I think he has. I think you're right. And Ossoff has run for office more than once. This is like he's lost a couple of times. He actually lost fairly recently before this race. God bless him, stuck to it, kept coming back, and now was his time. And after a tight race that came down to, just like in a presidential campaign, came down, for George anyway, that came down to Fulton County, which is, predominantly Black and Democratic. Mm-hmm. This race came down to DeKalb County, which is also even Black. More Black than Fulton County, and obviously Democratic as well. And so the Black people brought it home again. So congratulations to both of them.
Not only did Georgia come through, the rest of the country, the rest of the country came through, because I think I've said this on here before, but I've been telling everybody that for the next 2 years, we need to be hyper-focused on local, and not just our local, but like state by looking at every state.
Supporting everywhere,
because historically, when there is a win, whoever wins the general usually loses the first midterm, and that fucked us. Especially when, and the bigger the win, the greater the chance that they're going to lose the first midterm. So we saw it in 18, but that's what happened in 2010 with Obama.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it was partially low turnout and partially like the GOP having a high turnout in response to the ACA.
To Obama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the ACA. So it's like, and he had burned a lot of goodwill with the ACA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, which is the Affordable Care Act. So in order, so yeah, we have control of the House and Senate again for the first time in fucking, what's it been, 10 years?
A decade.
I thought it was 90 something.
No, it was. We had control the first 2 years of Obama's.
Oh, okay, so it's 10. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But like that first midterm, we lost it, and Obama's administration could have looked completely different if that hadn't happened, right? And McConnell really is the evilest person in Congress. So like, but if we only have it for 2 years, once again, we're going to be in the same position.
Yeah.
Or before. So I say that to say that Georgia wouldn't happen if we weren't all sending money down there.
And yeah, focus.
Mm-hmm. Focused and paying attention. But Stacey, I said yesterday that, or the other day, that if I was a pastor, I'd be preaching on what my enemies meant for evil, God used for good. Because had Stacey been governor, she would not have had the bandwidth or the time or the focus to steer these efforts for the general and for
the Senate.
Because she would have been focused on COVID response. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like we needed her free.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
such a time as this. And now her profile on national stage is even bigger. You know what I mean?
You don't be knowing sometimes, though. Like it's very interesting that you say that. Like I'll put this back on a personal experience that I had. That I looked back on and realized. So Jive shut down in 2011, right?
Right.
And I did some consulting stuff with Barry and Def Jam until about 13 or so, right? And then that kind of fizzled out. And so I'm like scrambling, but that was the time that my mom's got sick.
Right. Right? And you were free to take care of
it. I was free. I didn't have to go to work, so I could take her to doctor's appointments. I could do all the things that you know, until she passed, like the things I would not have been able to do. Like I was like, whatever we needed to do, I could just do. So like looking backwards, I was like, oh yeah, that was God working for me. Mm-hmm. Like bro, you ain't gonna have no job right now,
right?
Because you don't need to have a job right now, because so what's gonna happen to you is gonna be so much more important than you go trudging to the city every day. Now that's obviously like a different experience to Stacey, but similar in that
sense. Yeah, like
you were supposed to be the governor.
You think it's an L, but it's a W. It's a setup. Like Stacey now, like Brian Kemp, I ain't even heard Brian Kemp's name.
Nothing.
And I don't know
through this whole thing. Yeah.
Stacey is now getting like respected national profiles. They were half-assed covering her before. Like real national profiles. People see her leadership. And she is now a proven leader. She's not an unknown who just came to the forefront. She has proven her leadership. She has inspired others. She has catalyzed. An email came out. I meant to post it. Somebody posted an email that she wrote to, oh my gosh, I gotta remember who it was. But 10 years ago, she sent an email that was like, I would love, you know, to talk about Georgia can be a game changer. Like, She saw it. Long game. And, like, that's my thing is, like, and to me, it's, like, it's such, as a person of faith, it's so powerful. It's, like, not only did they steal the election in plain sight, which she fucked up at the time, right? Like, if you're a black person, you've been fighting, you're so mad. Like, that shit is obvious. It's in plain fucking sight. How is the state attorney general even running his own running the election that he's in? Like, that.
Yeah.
But it's like, all right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to position Georgia to take all this shit. Like, not only are y'all going to flip the general, y'all are going to flip the House and Senate back for the first time in a decade. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so powerful, and I hope people are seeing that.
Yeah.
So powerful.
I think they are. And you know, what else was interesting about this, too, and I think her being a black, not just a woman, just a black person in general, I think that there's this kind of stuff that happens that we kind of see that I think white folks are afforded the luxury of not even paying attention to. And in this case, it's like, you know, There's Cobb County, which is one of the suburbs of Atlanta. There's Gwinnett County, which is another suburb of Atlanta, right? Those two counties in this race and in the general, but definitely in this race, were very important in bringing flipping to blue, right? They're normally very red counties. They flipped to blue, which helped both candidates, Democratic candidates, win. My point is, like, as a black person, like, it's kind of like we know, like, oh yeah, niggas is moving out, niggas moving to Marietta, a lot of niggas moved to Marietta, like, but white folks ain't paying attention to stuff like that. So like, it's just like those little kind of subtle things that, right, that she probably, of course, I don't know, she did a lot of research and there's data that's flying off the handle, but there's
sure
also
there
kind of like things that you just kind of know, like, oh yeah, you know, my cousin just moved out to Marietta, and you know, she found it, just like, mm-hmm, 3-4 black families on this block.
Looking at how demos are changing.
Exactly. It's all that little stuff that white folks don't have to even pay attention to in their normal lives. Cause we have to, because we got to know where we're moving.
Or
and
even
who's our neighbors gonna be?
Right, or even seeing what kind of white folks are moving, like,
exactly
jumping off Atlanta to Texas for a minute. There's a Whole Foods theory that whenever a Whole Foods shows up, the area is about to turn more liberal.
Absolutely,
which I think is fascinating, but it's been proven in the demo, and it's been an indicator of how Texas is flipping. But like going back to Georgia, like, I think the other thing that white people are realizing that black people knew, and that maybe some black people in the North are actually starting to realize, is that if black folks weren't so disenfranchised, right, if we didn't have so many mm-hmm. blocks and barricades to voting to the point where it was just really discouraging, the South would be blue. And white people know this, which is why
they gerrymander
so hard to keep us from being able to vote. Mm-hmm. The South, like, and they knew that Georgia was the first domino in like an actual restructuring of Southern politics.
I think Texas is next.
Texas is 100%. I'm actually surprised Texas didn't go this year. In 2020. Texas, yeah. Absolutely next.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to keep an eye on Kentucky as well with the momentum that I forget his name, but the guy who ran for
against
McConnell.
Against the white woman who ended up running against McConnell.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And also Kentucky has a Democratic governor for the first time in forever.
Yes.
Right.
And he's a very liberal governor as well. And seems to be trying to do some good things. Just side note. Okay. So we talked early on the show about Auntie Naima with her dollhouses. Now we're going to talk about Auntie Inka, who's literally knitting as we're doing this show. So we got two full-blown... Y'all talking about me and bro being unk? We got two full-blown aunties on this show.
So listen, I has always had issues sleeping, right? So I'm making a weighted blanket.
Oh.
How are you making a weighted blanket, though? What do you do? What do you use?
Is the yarn thicker?
No, so this is regular, like, cashmere blend kind of soft yarn. But what you can do is buy coated fishing weights on Amazon, and then you can attach them. So I'm leaving little holes so that I can weave the fishing weights through, and I can customize her weight.
Look at that. Look at God. You might want to start a little business. You might start a little business of your own doing the weighted.
No, because this took an incredible amount of time, and it's ugly. But. Okay. You know, so we're just getting back into it.
We're going to change this show to the Uncle and Auntie show. That's the hell what was going on here. So let's, jump into the U.S. collapsing.
Is it, though?
We'll see. I haven't really kept up with what's happening today. I did see somebody did, your boy too, JR, Lindsay. We be talking all the time. He sent me a thing saying sources close to the VP say Trump pressured Pence to engineer a coup and then try to put his family in danger. Or something like, oh, if you don't do it, then so he's
wow.
He's super.
He's totally unraveled at this point.
Yeah, there's a bunch of little whispers and stuff you're hearing online about them invoking the 25th Amendment.
Because this nigga hasn't been president since November. They were reporting it on the news last night. Talks are happening with the cat. So the first step for 25th Amendment removal, which is at concern for the president's ability to lead and serve, is because of his mental capacity, is a cabinet. It first starts in the cabinet. So the cabinet is actually having conversations about it, but it hasn't. I don't know what's going on up here this morning. It might be whatever. This is like the y'all ain't heard.
Let me check the citizen app.
Yeah, but the conversation is happening at the cabinet because
call me an auntie.
Trump yesterday, people who've been on the Trump's just being Trump. He's just being whatever. The rhetoric's not that important. Everybody who's tried to stick by him so far, yesterday was horrific. And I think by any means, he told them to march on the Capitol. And even as he was telling them to keep peace, he was like, basically like, you're justified, but...
Yeah, do what you gotta do.
And then the motherfucker was like, as he was telling them to leave, he was like, we love you. You're very special. Like, and this is as they're tearing up shit in the fucking... This is like as they're in the fucking Capitol.
Yeah, with
like,
that video that he put out.
They're very special. And obviously the election was stolen. Even tweeting it, obviously the election was stolen. So I was like, finally everybody had enough of his shit yesterday, almost. But it was almost. Still some bullshit because it's like, how did it literally take people occupying the Capitol building for the first time in 200 years? The last time it happened, it was because Britain fucking invaded. Yeah.
It was the War of 1812.
Yeah, and set the fucking joint on fire. We got motherfuckers taking down American flags and hanging up Trump flags.
Nancy's office, the goddamn, taking pictures of emails.
The Confederate flag was paraded through the Capitol building for the first time in history. That is an act of war. I don't think people really understand that. Like, we talk about the Confederate flag and it's become symbolic and shit. It is an act of war. It is the United States is anti-constitutional. It is a refute of the Union. Like,
it is treason.
It is treasonous and it is mutiny. Like, I think that, and that's part of the problem I have with Trump's entire administration, is that there has been a loss of understanding. And I think this is the reality show shit and the social media shit and game and gamer shit. I'm gonna say that too, because a lot of these Proud Boys are just acting out.
Yeah, they call it Call of Duty.
But there is a loss of magnitude for how real and how serious and how unprecedented so much of this shit is. What happened yesterday is a coup. It was an attempted coup, and it was fucking sedition, and it was treason. And the fact that people walked up out of there...
The cops moved the barricades.
The fact that there weren't tanks on the street as soon as they broached the Capitol.
Especially when we saw what happened this summer in the Floyd protests with tanks and rubber bullets and all kind of
flag bombs. Well, all the tank operators were in the civilian clothes storming the Capitol.
Well, that's what people were saying, is that the reason that we weren't seeing all the military and armed forces because they were fucking in the Capitol storming the Capitol building, right? There. But the fact, like, honestly, there should have been the fact that Trump hesitated on deploying the National Guard in D.C.
He stopped it.
Virginia deployed their National Guard first, and they did it. They talked to Nancy and Chuck to coordinate that, and then D.C. had to go through Pence. The fact that your man didn't even want to call like a stand down because he was enjoying the shit.
Yeah, he was loving it.
This is like, and that's what we've been telling people forever. Trump has no loyalty to the Constitution. Trump wants fealty to him. Mm-hmm. And because these people were willing to interrupt the joint sessions of Congress and disrupt the democratic process, and motherfuckers had zip ties, they were armed, people
fired
in fucking Senate chambers. Like, are you insane? Like, I was like, this is fucking crazy. This is crazy.
You can't get inside the Capitol building with a pocket knife, but these people had materials for like Molotov cocktails.
Exactly. On them, like you said, they taking selfies with the cops. Like, it's
no,
like,
they're crazy.
They stay friends.
Yeah, no, I know. I know.
On the day, like when I saw them standing on the dais.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Niggas stole the podium. I sold it on eBay last night for $57,000. It was on eBay last night for $57,000.
And these people are so stupid. They've been posting videos, pictures. Mm-hmm. Like you said, putting stuff up for auction.
But,
they're proud of
but are they stupid, anti-maskers.
So we see that.
But my question is, are they stupid or are they just very.
They know nobody's gonna fuck with them.
That nobody's gonna do anything, right? Like, so this isn't. This is a show here, right? Like we're mm-hmm. very clear. This is a show. Like I mean, listen, nothing that I would say or think hasn't been said or thought already. So mm-hmm. I don't have anything, you know, poignant. I don't have this like poetic ass post to, you know what I'm saying? Like we all see what it is. But I will say that I am fascinated that the, okay. So like there, you know, obviously I'm not a cop, but like there are obvious levels to this shit, right? Like you have various police forces. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you do, even as a basic security officer, right? Is you anticipate shit. Hey, there's a show and the guy that's performing at the fucking show is blood. And this other guy, we're in crypt territory. You might want to have extra security that night. Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cause she could get real.
You might need some more bodies that night. Right. Like, so that's what I'm just kind of fascinated on. It's like, they have these sort of basic ass barricades. There was no logistical. That's what I was getting ready to say. There was no logistical response that was enacted, right? Like even from a very top down basic sort of thing, there was no systematic level of responding, right? Like you had some people with shields on, some people didn't have shields mm-hmm, on. They weren't like, dude, this is the fucking Capitol. Like I was a little surprised at the lack of enforcement. I was very surprised at the lack of ability. Like, you know, obviously, you know, you watch movies and shit, right? Like that. And you think that there's always like some fucking armory room inside of a building like that. You would think like, hey, is there like a way that if you do get barricaded in here, like you can get out? I was surprised that there was no sort of escape plan. There was basically a Secret Service agent with a 40 cal.
Yeah.
Or not. One. Like it was that guy. And honestly, they're going to turn that woman into a martyr.
They're trying to now.
They are 100% going to turn that woman into a martyr. In the next 10 to 12 years, if we have another random ass attack like we did on Christmas, it will be based around, it's going to be very Tim McVeigh-ish
of
what happened with Waco. And the last thing I want to say about these Republicans who are now rats fleeing the ship.
Yeah.
Like, this is very much like, see, it's like for us, it's like street shit, right? When you get into bed with certain people, you can't really control them.
Yeah.
You don't really know what might happen.
Yeah.
You kind of got to take what comes with that shit.
Exactly.
You don't get
the benefits of like rocking with that person, getting money, having a good time. But then when shit go left, it's like, nah, I ain't fucking with that.
Y'all stay on that ship. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, you stay on that ship. Chris Christie, you stay on that ship. You go down with it. All of you motherfuckers that enabled him, and because it served your purpose, you allowed him to stomp over the Constitution. You allowed him to disrespect that office. You allowed him to behave in such a manner that made this country, you know, a joke. And listen, I'm not here to like spout that we were like this, you know, incredible
utopia or whatever,
utopian nation, you know what I'm saying, prior to 2016. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that there were certain baselines of how and what was expected. And
what I would say, public protocol, right? Like at least an appearance of a certain amount of civility and respect, even if at least having the dignity to backroom deal.
I would also like to say a lot of you legislators that are in office right now, I know y'all got cool nicknames and all of that sort of shit. Okay. But what I would like to see is I would like to see less tweeting and more shit coming to the floor about how you're going to stop a president from doing this again. Okay. And don't fucking tell me that this is an outlier, because it's not. And I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of these Queon, one of them fucking weirdo ass,
and all that,
a lot of them motherfuckers are getting representative seats, okay?
And
what that means is you're gonna have a lot of fucking quacks roaming around that Capitol building, okay? And in the next 3 to 4 years, if you see a mass shooting in there, don't fucking be surprised.
Oh, yeah. This is coming around again. Trump was a beta test. This is coming around again.
If nothing else, we definitely just illustrated to everyone else in the world that hates us how easily we could fall. If nothing else, the whole rest of the world is watching. They know that we're weak with cyber. They now know that we can just walk into a fucking Capitol building and take out everyone who was trusted to make decisions. Not to cut you off, but
that was the other thing. Apparently, as all that shit was going on yesterday, Russia was hacking into the Justice Department.
Oh, yeah. Because it's weak. Because people's passwords are password.
Yeah, exactly. Or 1234.
1-2-3. Or whatever that wife's name is.
Exactly. Karen 1-2-3. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
From a military standpoint, like, that's what I saw yesterday. It's like,
Oh,
we have no protections then. Like, if these crazy motherfuckers that live here can go in there. That's the other thing
people don't understand is how crazy. And it's funny because it's the same people who want to complain about what our sitting presidents do to people in other countries. But when we talk about how crazy we look globally and how vulnerable we are globally, they dismiss it. We look fucking crazy.
Putin and Xi was popping bottles last night. They left. Yeah.
But this is where Biden being president-elect serves us well, because they know that an adult is coming back into the room. If it was somebody brand new,
I think the issues that have been exposed aren't just issues that an adult in the room are necessarily going to maintain. I think what we have here is, like we said, we have a lack of urgency and sort of realness with our cyber issues, right? Like these are like a consistent thing, right? It's almost like every time we find the last hack that we just uncovered had basically been going on for like damn near 8 or 9 months, dude, before they even recognized, and they had sort of backdoored in through a system that was a business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there were like 3 or 4 layers to which they were able to do this. And let's just, you know, aside from the cyber issues, we're talking about physical logistic protection.
Security.
Like physical security. The fact that there was a fucking Secret Service agent with a regular ass pistol that had that shot that woman, that was his protection.
Yeah.
Right? And apparently that was Pence's guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like so dude, like we are literally, we've just watched this shit get basically about 20 feet away from the fucking vice president of the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
What's her name's house? Pelosi's house.
Yeah, Pelosi's house.
Was terrorized.
Yeah.
I think McConnell's vandalized. House. I'm like, yeah, what is actually going on with the levels of just basic shit? But this matches into whiteness, right?
And this also matches into
a level of incompetence. If you have an intelligence office and you are operating any level of security, whether it's private high level security, whether it is police security, particularly in that DC, Virginia, Maryland region, and you mean to tell me that no one peeped that there were fucking plane loads of Trump supporters showing their ass on the way? Like, you cannot tell me that the fucking Federal Bureau of Investigation, okay, who has, like, you telling me you ain't had no snitches?
No, yeah.
It killed me.
Security experts on the news, security experts on the news last night were like, we knew. It wasn't even, like, on the chat line. Like, we knew. Maxine Waters says she had conversations with the chief of police 4 days ago about it. Like, everybody knew this shit was happening. Trump actually tweeted in December, like, come.
Yeah, on this, January 6th. Yeah.
Everybody knew. That was, and that's this the
is,
thing.
Everybody but this is, knew. And this is why I said, and this is why I said, this is, not only is this fireable, okay, but the fucking Capitol Police chief needs to have her ass up or his ass up in front of fucking Congress.
Like,
okay,
right now.
You need to answer what the fuck was your protocol? What did you know? And when the fuck did you know it? And why did you have all of these people in danger? Like, that is fucking insane to me.
Yeah, my thing is this, bro. Like, everything y'all, I'm agreeing with everything y'all saying 100%. I think a lot of this came down, like you said, to whiteness. And like you said, everybody used you know, Trump and his, you know, lackeys or whatever to get their shit off and get whatever they want to get passed and get, you know, to harm people or get back at people, whatever they were doing for it. But in like I've say it all the time, in the great words of the poet laureate CeeLo Green, thinking it can't happen to you and then it do. They never thought that those crazy white folks would turn on them. It's okay. Well, you'll tear up Black Lives Matter and the Black Lives Matter allies this summer and you know, like I said, tanks and firebombs and rubber bullets to people's eyes, and you tear up, you beat the shit out of people up in Portland for protesting, you beat the shit out of this one in New York for going crazy. But they never thought that the monster would turn on them because of the whiteness. Like, I'm white, you're white, so I'm safe.
And well, that's the attitude, though, right?
That's absolutely the attitude.
That's the reason that they walked into the Capitol in the first place. They're like, this is
I'm
our
white.
Shit.
I'm
You're
white.
Not representing
we watched
our interests. So,
we watched that black cop.
Who ran back upstairs?
Every reasonable measure would have said for him to draw his weapon. Every reasonable measure.
Absolutely.
And he didn't. And you know why he didn't? Because there are always consequences to hurting white folks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He could have shot three of them dead and they would have been like, why'd you do that?
Exactly. Because I can promise you a couple things, okay? And seeing motherfucking bullets pierce flesh, okay, y'all backing up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
you see what happened when old girl took that bullet.
Everything stopped.
Mm-hmm. Everything, all that hollering and shit, it got real calm.
Flags.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like the great poet Jadakiss said, gunplay make you do whatever sun say. Put your ass down.
Exactly. So it was whiteness. Like everybody of color and people who weren't of color was saying yesterday and today, it was the biggest display of white privilege probably in the history of this country, what we saw yesterday. And it was very interesting.
And of the disparity in reaction.
Exactly.
Between white people and black people.
That just happened, the disparity of things that happened 3 months ago, you know what I'm saying? And my space yesterday was, because actually when the first started, I actually wasn't home. So I was kind of seeing stuff on Twitter, but then I got home finally and started to watch it. My space was, yo, let them have at it, man. Fuck it. Like, let the motherfuckers kill each other. Like, the people who are getting rushed deserve it. And somebody needs to, like, start shooting back at these motherfuckers.
I don't mean to cut you off, but they didn't even have secure doors.
No, niggas
the doors that
in.
Shut did not secure. They had, there was no protocol. There were emails that were up. There were documents that were out and displayed. I'm like, you know, like I don't understand how if you go into an embassy, that's a part of their evacuation procedure. It's
absolutely.
Destroying what's in the like.
Luckily, somebody took the electoral ballot.
The electoral certificate.
Yeah, they did take those.
We would have been seeing those burned live on camera. Absolutely. And as ceremonial as that whole thing is meant to be, those actual physical certificates, because people were like, no, they've been scanned already, but the actual physical certificates have to be filed as a matter of protocol. They may change that now after yesterday. But the actual physical originals do have to be filed. And it's like, but to Sean's point, what people were saying is that the Capitol has never been a really tightly locked down place. The security that's inside the Capitol is mostly used to like tourists who go around and fucking with shit. It was not prepared to be breached because they should have never got past the
But here's the thing though. But here's the thing. It was prepared when Black Lives Matter had their rally.
Yeah.
It was prepared for people to not even
absolutely.
Get
absolutely.
That's
what
I'm
that's
what I mean by the logistics of how this was handled. Like the whole reason, and I take this back to security. Nigga, you couldn't drive on the block with the tunnel.
Hell no.
Right.
You couldn't drive on the block.
Hell no.
Why? Because because the further and further that perimeter is, the more and more layers we're able to provide
exactly.
to ensure safety.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You niggas walk up, like I said, like on Black Lives, I mean, I think, I don't know if you posted that picture too, bro, but several people posted the picture of the Capitol when Black Lives Matter was marching in D.C.
And they were like,
it was like, and they had the uniforms on. These niggas was ready to rock out. Yesterday, mm-hmm. it was like basically like Keystone Cops. Like you said, some people got masks on, some people don't. Nobody's pulling their weapon. Like people are rushing, and people are rushing the Capitol built steps, and the cops are running up the steps.
No, that cop was running from them because
no,
they
no,
were
not, no, 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 not cops. That guy. I'm talking about outside, oh. outside. Oh, when okay. it was a bunch of them, the cops were in front. They were like running away from them. It's like y'all basically letting them get to the door. You're not even trying to stop them to get to the door. But again, my tone was like, look, as a black person in this country, we've been, you know, fucked off some more times than we can ever count. So I'm not going to say enjoy because that's not the wrong term. But I just watched with, you know, like bemusement, I guess, as watching white people eat each other. Because black people having nothing, and all of us is on Twitter or whatever platform we're watching, like, from the outside looking in, like, right. yeah, y'all motherfuckers is crazy, but it ain't got nothing to do with us.
Yeah, but what I will say is that MSNBC had some members of Congress on giving firsthand accounts, and mm-hmm. it sounded so scary.
It was scary. It was scary.
Yeah. Also, considering the fact, like, you know, there was one, was she a freshman? There was one, I want to say she was a freshman who was in her office.
Oh, the woman called her husband?
Well, there was that one, but that was a different one. She had told her husband the night before.
Okay.
There was another woman who was a freshman who she said she was in her office. She thought she was safe, and she was watching MSNBC. And because she was watching MSNBC, she saw that they were near her office. So she turned the TV off, turned the lights off, put furniture up, and was like calling her family because she had no idea how long it would even take. Because DHS took forever to get on the scene. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, she had no idea how long it would even be before. And the Capitol offices, the Congress offices, there's all kinds of nooks and crannies and twists and turns. And mm-hmm. it's not a straight layout.
Yeah, yeah. It's laid out that way with the whole city, Tucson, L'Ouverture, like designed everything to be hard to get in. You couldn't just go straight line.
But it also can be more challenging for a search and recover, right?
True.
So it's so, you know, she said she was calling her family because people, apparently some of them, I think they were looking for, what are they called? The AOC and
the squad.
The squad. They were looking for the squad, I think. And because apparently people were yelling like, where are they? I think they were looking for the squad. I think there was definitely at least a contingency in there that was planning on taking a hostage situation.
Oh, yeah. They had zip ties.
They had zip ties. Yeah. So then there was one of the black senators who's a freshman, Corey. Is her last name Bush?
Corey Bush.
Corey Bush. Mm-hmm.
You know, she was like, we've been told that if we are in this building, she was like, I've marched, I've been tear gassed, I've been arrested. We were told that if we are in this building, we're safe. I told my staff that they're in this building, they're safe. She said it seemed like law enforcement was actually told to like kind of fall back.
Or they 100% were told to do that because they clearly law enforcement has communications on, right? Someone, mm-hmm. whoever was their commanding officer, said fall back, retreat. Whatever the case might be. And sometimes that is the best course of action, right? I don't want to make it seem like everything is so cut and dry.
But not because
because sometimes we are talking about merely property, right? Like that window and that shit could kind of be fixed. But there does have to be, and that's what I was saying to you, bro, on Twitter today, like there has to be a line. Like the line, you have to draw a line. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And when you draw that line, you got to stick to that line.
That's it.
I don't care if a motherfucking raccoon come across that line. He got to get all the smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
He got to be made an example out of it. It don't matter.
Whoever puts the top of this line, you're catching this L.
That's it. Because and this is why I said to you, when they took off the table the threat of physical confrontation and violence in regards to moving the president from that seat, that was a terrible, terrible choice. The idea that you were going to have to face confrontation was not there for them.
Yeah.
They had no fear of that.
None.
Now, they all talked that, you know, I want to, I, I'm ready to die a bloody death. They're not ready to die a bloody death, okay?
Hell no.
Because three of the four people that died from fucking heart attacks.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
From being
So clearly, you're not prepared for any sort of fucking confrontation. You know what I'm saying?
But like, there's not a show of, like, a forceful response for this. Like, if all these motherfuckers who was on camera, everybody who was... who was as bold in their treason and their sedition and their insurrection. If this shit ain't handled with a firm hand, this is just going to happen again.
It hasn't. Nah,
getting fired from their job is not
I don't mean
enough.
To go back again, but like this occurred to me, what we saw, this is the child of what Armin Bundy did in Oregon.
Absolutely.
When he took over, when he took over that state building and nothing happened to him. That was the son of when his father had drawn weapons on federal agents in Nevada.
And it was nothing. Nobody
did the white militia.
And they backed down. And they backed down. So I get it. They don't want to deal with the PR and the public perception or that Ruby Ridge and any of that sort of shit that's going to happen again. So I totally understand that. I totally understand that, right? But the reality is that we're watching this thing get progressive, and we're watching this. And yes, do I think they're real and credible threats? We just had a governor, a credible threat for her to be kidnapped. You don't think these motherfucking paramilitary guys are training to see if they can do something to
how
Kamala,
far they can go?
If they can do something to Joe, or they could do something to AOC or any of them.
That's what the next step is the inauguration, and you know.
And I get it. You know, you want to walk around and you want to be free when you're on your downtime, okay? But you're gonna fuck around and you're gonna go into the wrong coffee shop, and you're gonna come out in a zip tie. Y'all better take this shit serious.
Yeah, dead ass. So, yeah, I mean, we could talk about this shit for 19 hours. The images we saw last night, the National Guard finally came out and whooped some of their ass, but it was like too little, too late by that point. They said Trump is still up in there. Facebook and Instagram have deaded him. Twitter has suspended him, but it's supposed to be popping back on if he takes down certain messages. But that's bullshit, just because. So just put other messages up, like you know, whatever.
Well, they locked it. They had him take down a couple of messages to not suspend him, which he did, which was the messages to go home, but to also say, like, the election.
We love you in the rig and all shit. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like,
they also locked his account for 12 hours, which is going to be over soon, might be over already, should be over already. But they said one more tweet like that, they're going to suspend his account. But they could have suspended it yesterday.
They should have just done it yesterday. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? It's like, why are you giving this thing another shot? Because now, you know, we know that's his method of reaching out. We know everybody, his people are watching that. So, like, why would you even let him do that shit? Like, why would you even give him
It's not even the official POTUS account. It's his personal account.
That's what I'm saying. It's his shit. Like, let it out. Like, so yeah, that's happening. Like Inka said, they're talking about the 25th Amendment. We'll see if that actually comes into fruition. It's 13 days left before the inauguration.
And a lot can happen in 13 days.
Oh, yeah, sure. A lot can happen in 13 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, in my opinion, they got to get him out there. This is what I think. And I've always thought this. I think there is, I'm not trying to give nobody no props or whatever, but I think there is a faction of them folks, I was going to say another word, but I'm going to keep it clean.
O-face.
That's a good one. Of them folks.
O-face is a good one.
It is a good one. It's a faction of them folks that do want to get him out of there. But what I think, and y'all can tell me if I'm tripping, I think there's also a fear of if we do walk this motherfucker out in handcuffs, what happens? What do his people do then? So it's kind of like I said, if we leave him in here, we know he's going to tear shit up. If we walk him out of here, it makes him even more of a martyr. And what the fuck is going to happen then? Do the bombs start? Do the missiles start flying? So I think that's part of the reason they haven't just taken him down, because
the president is now a threat to the president.
I agree with you. I'm not arguing it.
They have to do something. When the president himself is a threat to national security, like
they ain't gonna do shit. Too many of them hitched their fucking wagons to him. They're still hitching their wagons to him. Look at Ted Cruz being a fucking lapdog.
Or Hawley, yeah.
Yeah, they have made it a point that this crowd in particular, that's who they're hitching their fucking wagon.
I'm rocking out.
They don't care about anybody in the middle. They don't care about anybody on the left. They are going to the right and the extreme right, and that is it. That is all they're concerned with.
Yeah.
And they don't really give a fuck.
They don't.
I think I rolled my eyes into a smooth headache last night when the Senate reconvened and they started to make all these speeches about how this is
Lindsey reprehensible, and even Kelly Loeffler's
like, "Sure, yeah. What the fuck are you talking? You was rocking with this nigga. You was part of putting this whole shit together. What the fuck?" Even Hawley last night, like, "Oh, I don't want motherfucker. You put this whole shit together."
Even Mitch McConnell's chicken wing looking ass was up there talking about how this is reprehensible and this is not America. And I'm like, can y'all just vote? Can we just get this on? Like, I don't know why we're yielding our time to this bullshit.
They almost scrapped up in there.
Before, y'all were about to get kidnapped. Nobody gave
literally. Literally.
Right.
Yeah, literally. Before they came in there with the hog ties, y'all motherfuckers, everything was Gucci. Like I said.
And also, Mitt Romney, we were talking about security. Like, I think once you run for president and you get that far up the ticket, you should have some kind of security for the rest of your life. There's no reason you should be in an airport approachable by crazy
Dolo.
Like he was. Yeah.
Dolo.
That was insane to me. Anyway.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, like we, you know, it's like again, it's a lot
and you
of
know us- what? Go ahead, he's got fucking $26 million. He could fucking pay for his own security.
Pay for Earl and then bring their pistols out.
Yeah, go get the security from the fucking contract that you backdoored for over in Iraq that you fucking kicking out on.
True.
Cops.
True. Yeah, that's what's really interesting to me. Like again, you know, as black people or brown people or just people on this side of the fence, you know, I'm just kind of watching this with amusement. I'm like, y'all, hey man, shit. y'all got it fucked up right now. Like, you know, welcome to the party.
We watched Fox News for a few minutes yesterday just to see what they were reporting and
what were they covering.
So they were recovering it and saying like it was reprehensible and they shouldn't be in the Capitol and blah, blah, blah. But they, of course, tied it all back to it being Black Lives Matter and Antifa's fault that we're even in this situation. And had somebody on who had like, what did she do? She organized one of the rallies that was, she said, we have evidence that the election was rigged and blah, blah, blah. And she said, we never had any of this at any of our rallies. These have to be, you know, people that are disguised among us who are causing
that's what they were talking about. Bill, I think it was Bill Bratton. Said to he said to today that, and I found that interesting. He said that he didn't have any confirmed information, but he did kind of feel like there probably were some Russian operatives in the middle of this, which is why
there were a bunch of Canadian people in the mix.
Which is why when they went in, they were like going to try to grab paperwork and emails and blah 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 because that was their kind of like their assignments. And I was like, yeah, I can see that.
Did y'all see the Comey rule, that documentary they did? Uh-uh. Well, not a documentary, the series they did on HBO. If you watch that, they talk about the Russian faction of this and how it's just a couple of guys and how they targeted Facebook. And the guys that kept meeting by like the water fountain at night or whatever look like some niggas you would just walk by in a hallway.
Wouldn't pay attention to.
They're not the stereotypical Russian or Serbian looking, you know, I know that's not PC, but guys.
Yeah.
And they be out there.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, that was one of the biggest things I picked up when I watched The Americans. Mm. And like you see, like they made this American family. Like you would never know that they were Russian. Even they just kind of like because of whiteness. You know, a little type of haircut, little type of hair coloring for the woman, and a little, you know, wear that little, you know, Ann Taylor sweater and that little, you know, whatever the white men wear, and they just blend right in.
Gap khakis, Taylor.
What do you say, bro?
I said the Gap khakis.
Exactly, the Gap khakis and the Banana Republic, you know, loafers, and you just never know. That's
peak. Just destroying my wardrobe right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
On that note, we'll wrap it up.
I got one little quick shout out.
Go.
So, when I lived in England a million years ago, and I was an avid reader.
You be letting little shit slide
all the time. He said travel the world in a reserve.
I know, but she be like saying little shit like, yeah, that time I was in Paris and I hung out with Michael Jackson. I'll be like, wait, what?
Shut up.
But go ahead.
So a friend of mine brought me to Fridays in England and in London. And somebody
TGI Fridays?
TGI Fridays. That's where we went. And somebody passed me a note and said, Inca, do you need anything? And it had like EJD on it. I was like, what the hell is this? And I turned around and she had introduced me to Eric Jerome Dickey. This is 2006.
Oh.
And we became good friends. We've kept in touch over the years. So hearing that he passed away at 59 Tuesday was just like completely devastating. I'm so happy to have had the chance to actually meet one of my heroes in real life, but like a tremendous, huge loss to the literary world and
and the Black literary world, especially. He and Eric Jerome,
Elin Harris.
He and Elin Harris, like they had that Black lit movement in the 90s. Yeah.
They had it on Smash.
I read them both, like everything. Like all the time. Yeah.
It's just so much of my formative, like young adult years was spent with my face in one of his books, one of B.B. Moore Campbell's books. Elin Harris, of course, we're losing these literary giants.
Didn't Elin Harris die recently,
like last year or something?
In the last couple years, yeah.
Yeah, pretty recent.
I just wanted to say RIP to him.
You actually just triggered something to me. And we'll end it on this. Shout out to a friend of the show, Bevy Smith. Her book comes out, I think, Monday.
Yeah, next week. I'm so excited. I pre-ordered it. I get mine on Monday, the 12th. I'm excited.
So peace and love to her, and go support her as well. Okay, so on that note, we're going to wrap it up. All our DC people stay safe, though. We know us. We ain't going nowhere near that shit.
Yeah, just stay in the house.
Niggas is home. Niggas is home in the hood, eating wings and laughing.
I will say this though. I had a friend who is one of my good friends is the Capitol Hill reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and she was in lockdown last night. And I haven't had a chance to talk to her yet about what that experience was like. But even as we're saying, like, this shit ain't got nothing to do with us, it's Black folk mixed up.
Oh, yeah, it's Black people that are working and stuff like that, absolutely. And there's black Congress people, there's one Black senator, that nigga, he'd be all right. But
that book will be all right. God damn.
Be all right, man. Tim Scott, I ain't fucking with Tim Scott. Man. Fuck that nigga. But anyway, let's wrap it up before I say some other foul shit. So we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.